This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening today. We begin today with the abrupt announcement from President Trump that he's banning transgender people from serving in the United States Armed Forces. The president said on Twitter, quote, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military." Now, this news comes just over 1 year after the Obama administration lifted the ban on transgender Americans in the military. The Pentagon put out a statement saying all questions regarding the abrupt policy change should be referred to the White House. President Trump, when he was a candidate running for president, said that he would stand up for the LGBT community, their rights and their freedoms. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from two Americans, one Army veteran and one active duty, on how they're reacting to the newly announced plan. But first, Dan Lamoth is a national security reporter for The Washington Post. He's covered the military's transgender policy for several years, and he joins me now to discuss the president's announcement. Dan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, the president announced the new ban on transgender soldiers on Twitter. It was rather abrupt. It seems to have taken the Pentagon by surprise because of this statement referring all questions to the White House. Do you have a sense or any information that the Pentagon knew this was coming?
I really don't at this point. There has been, I believe, a CNN report that suggested Secretary Mattis was at least consulted. With that said, we were told on Monday that he's on personal travel this week, essentially taking his first vacation since taking office in January.
Is that an unusual situation then for the commander-in-chief to announce a major change to military policy in this way, abruptly like this?
Yes, it's absolutely unusual. I mean, the medium's obviously unusual as well. I mean, this is really the first time any president has used Twitter in this way. But the other unusual nature of this is the military over the course of several decades has become more and more inclusive, and there is often vigorous debate over who to allow to serve. But once they make a decision to let some kind of people in, they've never gone back on that. You know, there used to be segregation with black soldiers. There used to be don't ask, don't tell. I mean, all of these things over time have kind of been rolled back. This would be a reversal that would actually make it more strict than it was last year.
A reversal, incidentally, that comes on the 69th anniversary of the desegregation of the U.S. military. Dan Lamoth, President Obama, toward the end of his term, announced the new policy of allowing transgender people to openly serve. That was a little over a year ago. What's been going on in the meanwhile in terms of a transition, in terms of the new policy? Has it been rolled out? Has it been implemented at all?
Yes, is the short answer. It has been, but there are several pieces to it. The decision was made a year ago in June. The initial piece of it was, if you're already transgender and serving, don't worry about it. But the other additional pieces, there were implementation plans where, you know, they were pushing out basically direction and guidance to commanding officers on what to do if you know, somebody comes forward in your unit, all those sorts of things. And then the last piece that was still sort of up in the air, they announced last year that transgender recruits would be allowed, but they would not be allowed until last month. And then last month, Secretary Mattis pushed that back to the end of 2017. So I was not necessarily surprised to see that they would push back or not allow transgender recruits. That seemed to still be up for discussion. The surprising part here is that, at least according to the president's tweets, it looks like all transgender service members, including those already serving, will no longer be allowed. So now the question becomes, are you going to be pushing people out of the military?
Dan Lamoth, you've also been speaking with Brad Carter. He was a former Obama administration official who helped usher in the transgender policy in the military that you're talking about. What has he said?
Brad Carson was a congressman from Oklahoma, Democrat. He eventually took a mid-level job in the Pentagon working on policy, personnel policy, including this. He was frustrated, I think, on a couple levels. One is that he pointed to there basically being very little precedent to restrict a kind of service member that already had been allowed to serve. He really thinks this opens up the Pentagon and the government to lawsuits and that this will ultimately be decided in the courts.
So as we go forward here, Dan Lamoth, there are lots of questions now for the Pentagon. They're referring them to the White House. You've been covering this issue for years. What are your critical questions now for whoever can answer them on who can serve in the military branches?
I think the first question is, what do you do with the hundreds of transgender service members who have come out to their units, to their commanders over the last year, now potentially putting their own military careers in jeopardy? The second piece is, there are, according to the Pentagon's own studies, several thousand transgender troops, many of which, you know, people probably don't even realize, already serving. So what becomes of those people? Do they have to keep it to themselves? Does this become sort of a don't ask, don't tell light sort of policy? And then the additional question is, according to the president's tweets today, he said he's acting on the advice of his generals. I've heard lots of concern in the Pentagon from, you know, the Joint Chiefs and other people that are high up that want to know what the details are and want to know what their limitations are. But very few of them have been blanketly against it altogether, at least publicly. So this would seem to be a reversal of that. And it seems to put the Joint Chiefs in a difficult position where they're involved in both politics and policy. And that's a spot they're usually allergic to.
Dan Lamoth, national security reporter for The Washington Post. Dan, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We turn now to two people who've served in the military to get their reactions on the president's policy change on transgender people in the armed forces. Charles Clymer is a writer, a social equality advocate, and an Army veteran. Charles was with the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment for 3.5 years and was medically retired in 2012. Charles identifies as genderqueer. Also with me is Staff Sergeant Patricia King, who, after 16 years in the Army, became the first infantryman to reveal that she is transgender. Staff Sergeant King is active duty. She served in the Army for 18 years, and she said the news took her by surprise.
So I woke up this morning to my phone going off with concerned service members who just heard this news. So I actually woke up to this news, and I woke up to receive it kind of in a state of shock, not knowing exactly what this means, but knowing that I am eager to continue to serve.
Now, Patricia, you were the first infantryman in the Army to reveal that you are transgender. I mentioned that you have 18 years in the infantry where you still serve and 3 deployments in Afghanistan. I know that you're eager still to serve, but what do you think it might mean for you?
Well, if the statement that was released this morning is followed through with, then that means that transgender service could end as we know it in the United States. And that's concerning because we have so many service members who are transgender serving honorably right now.
Are you concerned that you might be kicked out of the Army?
Certainly, that's one of my fears.
What would that mean for you?
Well, I mean, I have had 18 years of honorable service at this point, and to find out that so close to the end of what's been a very proud career for me, that I could lose my job, that it would mean a fresh start. It would mean figuring out what's next, what the next phase of my life is. And for me, because I'm so close to retirement, I would have questions about whether or not I was going to retain that retirement, or I spent the last 18 years working towards a retirement only to lose it at the very end.
Charles Clymer, you're listening to Patricia King on her 18 years of service as a transgender infantryman. You have your own service 6 years in the Army. Your reaction?
First, I'm just honored to speak on this program with someone like Patricia. She has served her country with distinction. And the fact that we have politicians who never served sticking their noses in our units where they don't belong, telling us how that the military should be run is just, it's beyond decency. It's just completely un-American.
Charles, you describe yourself as genderqueer yourself. You have 6 years in the military. If this announcement had come during some other administration and you had faced the prospect of being kicked out, what does that mean?
Well, under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, we had a lot of bisexual or gay and lesbian service members who were kicked out with absolutely no evidence that they had engaged in any sort of homosexual conduct. So even genderqueer folks are, I would say, under the gun right now in terms of looking at their career and the military deciding whether or not they're worthy to serve, which is completely ludicrous to me and to so many of us who have served with folks who fall on the spectrum.
So, Charles, you mentioned Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Of course, there was the change in policy under the Obama administration. Toward the end of the Obama administration, the order that transgender people would be allowed to serve, the Trump administration, Secretary of Defense James Mattis, delayed that decision. Now here we are 6 months into the Trump administration. From where you sit, Charles Clymer, what's going on here politically with the ability of LGBT people to serve?
We are watching a madman in office unilaterally making decisions without the military's input. I think James Mattis, I think that most of our senior military leadership, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of officers who overlook, you know, everyone in the military, they believe in one standard, and either you meet that standard or you don't. And whether you're gay or straight or transgender or cisgender, that has nothing to do with it. We're looking at not a man trying to cut down costs, but this is about fear and loathing of transgender Americans. That's all this is.
Staff Sergeant Patricia King, have you been willing to put your life on the line and die for this country?
Well, of course I've been willing to do my job. That's what raising your right hand and serving in the Army means.
Patricia King, the Pentagon has made gender reassignment a covered health benefit that was ordered by the Obama administration. What do your colleagues, your friends who are part of your transgender service nonprofit that you're part of, say about that benefit and the prospect of losing it?
Well, I think it's important to remember that both Rand Corp as well as the New England Journal of Medicine did independent studies on the cost. And aside from that, the DOD embarked on a one-year study to determine what the cost would be. And all three, as well as the 18 partner nations with Open Trans Service, have all determined that the cost is nominal and that it is worth the benefit of retaining the best and brightest service members in our military. So I have friends who are very concerned about the possibility of losing benefits. But more importantly, we're concerned about the possibility of losing our ability to serve our country. If I was told today that some of my medical benefits could fall to the wayside, but I would be able to continue to serve, I would certainly ask for the opportunity to continue to serve a country that I love.
Charles Clymer, Army veteran of 6 years. Before we go, your final thoughts?
I just want to say to Patricia and every other transgender American serving openly right now, we got your backs. We're just not going to let this happen without a fight.
Thank you.
Staff Sergeant Patricia King, your thoughts?
I just want you to know that no matter what, service members are going to continue to serve and do their job as long as they're in the military, and that is the same for transgender service members as anybody else. We will continue to serve honorably and with pride because that's why we enlisted in the military in the first place.
That is Staff Sergeant Patricia King, 18 years in the Army Infantry, including 3 combat deployments to Afghanistan, and also Charles Clymer, specialist, 6 years in the United States Army. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're hearing your reaction to President Trump's new ban on transgender people serving in the military.
This is Lewis from Ohio. I think what Trump did is disgusting. Diversity is what makes America great. Any sex, race, or religion willing to put their life on the line for our country is a hero, not an outsider.
My name is Nasreen Ghazi, and I'm calling from Philadelphia. I just wanted to say that as a physician and as a Muslim woman, that I support our transgender brothers and sisters. And I think that the current president's decision is terrible.
Carol Ann from Stephenville, Maryland. And I would think that anyone that wants to serve and die for this country should be allowed to do that as long as they're able to do the job.
Hi, this is Danielle from Oklahoma. I am just in shock that President Trump, that he would think that transgender people should be completely banned from the military and unable to serve. It just seems so ignorant and thoughtless, but I guess I'm not surprised anymore. This is just one more thing. It's disgusting.
Give us your take. 8778, my take is the number. You can always join the conversation on our Facebook page.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.